morning, Tony.
How are you?
You again? I'm fine, thank you. You know, I've got this blasted knee, which is an arthritic knee, and they can't do anything about it. So keep taking the pills and come back next week, you know?
Yeah, as the doctor said, hobble. All right.
I thought that's what you did to horses.
No, I have no idea. I'm not going near the subject of horses. I know nothing about them. A little more about gardening, but not that much. You're the expert here. It's been rather unseasonable weather that we've had of recent times, which has probably thrown the usual gardening calendar into some sort of chaos with late planting of seeds because of the wet weather. Then it got hot and then it's got damp and wet again. It's really not good for July, is it?
No, it's not. Yesterday the wind over the weekend, the wind was actually quite heavy.
Yeah,
where I live anyway, and it was gusting. And so...
Plays havoc Sunday, with your beans, doesn't it?
Well, it wasn't my beans, it was my blooming wisteria.
Oh.
Which actually blew it off the fence. So I had to go out and take all... It's my fault, because I should have taken the tendrils off a week ago, and I didn't, because I've been out, as you know, judging for in bloom, and I haven't had the time for my own garden. But we're back now, and we're all sorted.
That's good. Yeah, I say it has been rather wet. And to say, I've got a list of the 10 things that we're supposed to be doing at this time of year. But
okay.
I think some of it's going to be rather delayed, isn't it?
I think so. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the Chelsea chop and the hack?
Yes, yes.
Well, now is the time, of course, to hack down, I should say prune, really, your perennials that have already flowered.
Yeah.
If you cut them right back now, geraniums particularly, hardy geraniums.
Yeah.
By geraniums, I don't mean the pretty red ones you see in parks departments.
All right.
So those are actually pelargoniums.
All right.
But the geraniums, like, there's a variety which is wonderful that a lot of people grow. It's blue and it's called Roseanne. And she needs to be cut back now, and then she'll give you a second flowering in September.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the top of the list of things that I was going to talk to you about, actually. Deadhead bedding plants and repeat flowering perennials to ensure we get continuous flowering. So, yeah, maintenance work, that I think it comes under the category of, doesn't it?
I think so. What, you know, you were talking about unseasonable weather.
Yeah.
It was interesting, actually, to see that dahlias have actually come out almost a month earlier.
Yeah.
Usually you think of dahlias end of July, beginning of August. I'm not one of these people that's absolutely passionate about them. I like them.
Yeah.
But I use them in pots, really, just to sort of give a bit of colour. But the real fanatics, they take the early buds off, you see.
Yeah.
So that they come on a bit later. But I don't do that. I just like seeing them. They have... as I say, in the wind over the weekend again, some of the blooms really did get caught. So they're in a vase, or will be in a vase.
Well, it's not just the plants that got caught by the wind. It was I was serious when I mentioned the beans, because we've got some beans growing. It's almost like a trough thing. It's a long thing, but with some decent roots. But it's got the poles on it. We put the poles on, and the beans have trained themselves up these things. And we've got a crossbar at the top holding the whole lot together, but it's gone sideways thanks to the wind.
Yeah, it's a bit of rope, probably. Can you get a bit of rope and oik it up?
Yeah, we'd attach it to the side of the house, I think, really, is possibly the answer, or to something else that's upright and not going to get blown over in the wind.
One of the things, if you're talking about beans, is keep an eye open for blackfly at the moment.
Oh, right.
Because with mine, I haven't had any blackfly up until now. And when I went into the allotment last Friday, I was horrified to see the blackfly just starting. So they've had a bit of a garlic and, well, I mix up my own stuff, but garlic spray And hopefully, when I go in later on this afternoon, the little blighters will have been washed away.
Oh, that's good. Mind you, there's a problem, isn't there, really, when you talk about black fly and all that sort of thing. There's been a lack of insects generally, hasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you can buy everything off the internet now, can't
you?
You can buy ladybirds on the internet.
Really?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
Well, because they actually get rid of your black fly and your green fly.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah, and the other thing is, some friends of mine who live in Five Ash Down,
yeah,
they actually wanted worms, and they bought 2 kilos of worms.
Oh, so, you'd have thought with the amount of rain there'd been, there'd be plenty of worms in the soil.
Yeah, they've got new soil, though. They filled in a swimming pool. And they had to get a lot of topsoil in.
Mm.
And when we analysed the topsoil, pH-wise, it was absolutely fine. But there was no life in it at all.
Yeah.
So we've put a lot of compost on the top. And then the worms didn't come. Because I presume, you know, I mean, it was a big swimming pool.
Mm.
So I think it was the amount of soil that they had to put in there. But no, they bought a couple of kilos of worms, and I'm going back up there next weekend, so I must go and have a look for worms.
We look forward to hearing a bit about that.
Thank you.
Holidays are one thing people have this time of year as we're approaching the holiday season. And, well, houseplants become a bit of an issue. A bit like what to do with the pets. What do you do with the houseplants while you're on holiday?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I pop them in the bath, actually. I haven't got that many, but I pop them in the bath, put a small amount of water in the bottom of the bath, water them really well before I go. Mind you, it's when I go for my long holiday, I have to get somebody in to sort them out. But just for a week or a fortnight, it's not too bad. Just make sure what you can buy on, again, on the internet or in the garden centre, you can actually buy a sort of a foam pad. And if you soak that and stand your plants on that, the plants will take up the water that they need.
That's kind of handy.
All sorts of ways, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's good. I mean, because I say lots of people do go away, and it is. I mean, it's probably easier to deal with your pets than it is the plants, actually, because if you've got a dog or a cat or something, somebody will look after them generally, or they go to a kennels or whatever. But there isn't a place to sort of take your plants when you go on holiday, like a plant refuge.
I'm the plant refuge in my road.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I'm sure there's money to be made doing that if somebody comes up with the idea, but, yeah, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, the thought of charging, you know.
Yeah. You must do that sometime, but, you know, we'll do that on business sometime. The other thing that I know you've got an answer for is number 4 on our list today is check clematis for signs of clematis wilt. Firstly, what is wilt? And secondly, how do you get rid of it?
Well, it's very difficult to get rid of it completely. If you've got it, it'll be in the soil, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
There are several ways of doing it. Clematis wilt comes from spores which are in the soil. And when the rain comes, we had some over the weekend, didn't we, really?
Mm.
Then the spores of clematis wilt splosh up. So the water comes down and the spores splosh up into the new growth. And that usually happens in the spring. So one of the ways to get rid of it is to actually mulch over the soil, keeping those spores underneath the mulch. So you've got to put on a couple of inches, really, of the mulch. But the other way to do it is if you've got your clematis up against a fence or anything else, and the stem comes right down to the ground, get yourself a very large, clear plastic pop bottle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you take the bottom off, and you take the screw top off, and then you cut off the screw top bit. So, and then you slice down the side so that you've got like a sort of a wraparound thing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Yep.
And then you wrap it around the clematis itself. I would probably put on 2 of those, so you'd have to sort of masking tape all around it. That then stops the spores from hitting the actual plant.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's basically avoidance rather than anything else.
Well, you can. They say you can buy fungal things. I'm not very keen on doing that, as you know.
Yeah. Well, anything with chemicals in it these days for the garden is not necessarily a good thing because so we already mentioned the insects and the other things that visit our garden. Chemicals are not good for them, and it's really long-term not good for the soil, is it?
No, it's not. And the other thing to look out for at the moment, I know everybody's saying we don't have an awful lot of ladybirds and things like that.
Well, the internet sellers have got them all.
Yes, fancy having a job breeding ladybirds.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, a friend of mine came in the other day and said, oh, I've got this bug. Oh, it looks awful. It's all over my beans and it's everywhere. And in actual fact, I said, what can I spray it with? Don't spray it. Now, what it looks like is like a little, ever such a difficult thing to look up.
Mm.
It's a larva of a ladybird, and it's it isn't round like a ladybird. It's long and thin, but it's got like stripy spots on it.
All right.
Don't kill it. That will come into a ladybird.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up on the internet. It's absolutely fantastic to look at.
Mm.
Lots of people do think it's an horrible bug, and it isn't an horrible bug.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to work out what's what, but good advice that. The other thing, as I said, we've mentioned the weather and the effect it had on planting, and say right now it also seems to be having a bit of an effect on when things are actually ready to come out of the garden, because the usual time to go and pick them, and you're going to be disappointed, certainly if you go picking your potatoes right now. They're not going to be quite what they should be. We got some garlic out of the ground the other week. Mind you, it'd been in for months and months and months, and a really good crop this year. But I'm thinking things like courgettes at the moment. And, of course, there is the warning with these that you should pick your courgettes before they become marrows. But how do you know when they're ready?
Well, I go by a rule of thumb. And my hand span from the tip of my thumb to the top of my little finger is approximately 9 inches.
Yeah.
And I go by that. So once it gets, and funnily enough, there's one waiting for me today. So I go by that. I also grow a circular one.
Yeah.
And it's called eight ball or tondo. There's another variety. And as soon as that gets to just under, I suppose, Wimbledon tennis ball size.
Yeah.
I pick them because then they keep going all the time. Once you let them go, they don't crop very well. So it's better to have them younger rather than older.
Yeah, I think you should market your hand span. And Jean's rule of thumb, and it's a hand span, just so that you can measure out to see whether your courgettes are going to become marrows or not. I think that would be a thing.
A very big hand, but
well, that's the point. You see, mine is much bigger and probably would be more than 9 inches, which is why.
If you say 8 to 9 inches,
yeah,
and do them, and always remember, cut them rather than pull and twist.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Yeah. I mean, how far behind are we with stuff this year, generally?
Difficult to say. Some things are ahead.
Yeah.
Like the dahlias. Other things are much slower. I found that beetroot has been really slow to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to put in a second crop. And the other thing is that a lot of people are saying the same thing. Parsnips. They've been very, very slow
this year. Yeah, I've heard that. Mm. Yeah, it's it's making life difficult for actually picking at the right time this year, so that you've got stuff that's actually usable rather than stuff that's kind of comes up in miniature and is not overly usable. And then, of course, you're going to get fairly soon towards the time when you need to start replanting. And if the soil has not had any time at all to rest, it's going to be problematical for next year, isn't it?
That's right. And so as much organic stuff that you can put on, the better.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, if you make your own compost, that's fine. But also, you know, give it a bit of a boost with a bag of good old-fashioned farmyard manure, or stable manure is a good one.
Mm.
You can buy it in bags at nearly all garden centres. It's not very expensive. And it honestly, it really does make such a difference. Also, it holds the moisture in, so you don't have to water quite so much.
Mm, yeah.
Great believer in dung, my grandfather used to say.
Nothing like it, is there, really? Good old farmyard stuff there. Number nine on this list is talking about lawns. Now, I know of your love of lawns. Apparently, according to this, lawns go brown at this time of year. Not much chance of that at the moment, is there?
No, not at all. But if you look at the grass verges, they've actually gone brown because there's not a great deal of substance underneath them to support them. But no, don't worry about it. We get loads and loads of queries about this. But don't worry about it. It will come back. As soon as we get some decent rain, it will come back.
We've had some decent rains. It shouldn't go.
Some decent rain.
Yeah, we've had some decent rain. It shouldn't go brown this year. Hopefully, I know the grass verges on along the streets. I mean, that's probably a lot to do with councils cutting the verges and not actually clearing the dead grasses. Lots and lots of dead grass around, which clutters up all sorts of things and really doesn't help the soil, does it?
Well, it's no mow May, of course, and then let it bloom in June.
Yeah, I dread to think what July is.
Well, there we go.
Anyway.
The snag about it is, Tony, that, you know, the contractors have machinery.
Yeah.
And sometimes the machinery doesn't actually cope with the great length that things have, you know, been allowed to.
Yeah, yeah. That's another story, though. Mowing the lawn, I think it takes an expert to get out there, mow the lawn sort of several times a week, comb it, brush it, and to within an inch of its life, and then you get something that resembles lawn. Otherwise, it's just a bit of grass.
It is.
Right, number 10, final one. And I'm guessing you've got to have trees for this, and I don't know whether you've got any in your garden. Apricots, peaches, and nectarines. It's time to harvest.
No, I haven't got any, but yes, it is time to harvest. Don't worry too much if you've had peach leaf curl. It doesn't harm the plant at all. It just looks a bit unsightly. And it looks as though the leaves have all got pink blotches over them.
Yeah.
So the only thing is to remember as well is to thin out your apples.
Thin out the apples?
We've had the June drop. And now we actually need to just thin out if there are any more, you know, too many on the top. You get a much better crop that way.
Yeah, okay. So you haven't got any, I haven't got any, but I'm sure there'll be one or two people who do have or are lucky enough to have apricot, peaches or nectarines in their garden. Happy harvesting with those. Jean, I think we're almost there for the moment because such is the way of things in July. The only other thing you can do in your garden in July is just, lay back and enjoy it.
I think so. And weed.
Always a weed.
I had a session and I really didn't see. I've got a lovely rose called the Generous Gardener.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was going to be a hybrid tea. In actual fact, it's just semi-climber. But so what has happened is that it's planted there and it's flopped over everything else. Well, of course, underneath it, it's all these blooming weeds that are coming up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you walk down the garden and, oh, my goodness, look at that. It's just seeding and it's,
it's a weed. There's the thought.
What's a weed?
Well, I don't know. Lots of weeds. We'll discover more on those, I'm sure, in the months to come. But for now, Jean, we are out of time. Thank you for talking to us this morning. And we look forward to catching up with you again in a month's time. Cheers, Jean. Thank you.